This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
Welcome, everyone, to a brand new episode of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, episode 355. We're up to a brand new trilogy. Now, we're going to start where it all started, from a galaxy far, far away. We're going to start where Anakin was a kid. Ooh. All right. Darth Vader was a little baby. And we're going to start with a little film called Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace, from 1999. I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
All right, Nate, introduce our special guest. This is the first of in a long time.
Yeah, it's not his first time on the show, but it's his first time here in a while. We got our buddy, and by the way, he's going to be on for the next 6 episodes, including today. So get used to hearing him. He's earning his intern status. We got Rob here. Rob, let everybody know where they could follow you on Instagram, because you're not a YouTuber, but you do have an Instagram. Let everyone know where they could find you.
Yeah, thanks for having me again, guys. Appreciate it. And you can find me on Instagram on BigNock007.
And that is B-I-G-N-A-K. 007.
That's right. Thank you.
All right, Rob. So you're going to be here. This is going to be really interesting, because we had Scott for The Hobbits.
Yeah.
Now we have you for the Star Wars, the first of many Star Wars movies. So let's have fun. All right. Let's ask the question, because I've seen this in the theater. Yeah. I've seen all 3 in the theater, plus 7, 8, and 9, because now they're in our generation of watching them. Right. So first roulette wheel here. All right, Rob. What was your first initial reaction when you saw Phantom Menace in 1999 for the first time?
For the first time, I was, I liked it a lot. It has its, problems a little bit, but what I loved about it, I think the introduction of Obi-Wan to the prequel, and also the Sith villain, Darth Maul. I thought he was, like a menacing kind of evil, almost evil kind of presence to the movie. So that was my first impression of it when I saw it in the theater.
All right. Nate, how about you?
Oh, baby. All right. You know what? When this movie came out, I saw this in the movie theater, in a packed movie theater. I was 12. So with that being said, I loved this movie. When I saw it at the theater, 12-year-old me was like, this is great. I think my grandmother took us to see, because they re-released like the special edition ones in theaters too back then. And we had seen them, and I think I saw them VHS, I've said this so many times. I was never like captivated or mesmerized by Star Wars. Never. But I liked them. But this one, it was the first new one. The buzz was crazy. I know y'all remember. They're like, theaters were crazy packed full of nerds everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, there was merchandise. Just everything was Star Wars. And I saw it in theater and I loved it. So if you're just asking me on my initial viewing, 12-year-old Nate, big fan of The Phantom Menace.
Well, you know what? It's funny because I'm a big Star Trek fan when it comes to Star Wars, right? So when I first went to see this thing in the theater with my friends, Pablo, and I think Ralph was there too. I believe Ralph, but I know it was more with Pablo. We went to see it and I was like, what is this crap? Like, literally, I was just like, what? I know the big hype was around. Like you said, the theater was packed. People had their lightsabers. Were dressing up. And I was like, whoa, this is crazy. I was like, whoa. So I was like, let me sit down and watch. And I'm going to be honest. I wasn't a crazy fan of this movie until I saw the cartoon, Clone Wars cartoon. And that changed, because that gave you a different aspect of the movie. So it made you appreciate the movies more. So because of the cartoon, I was like, okay. My initial reaction, I'm going to be honest with you, was I wasn't too crazy with this movie. There's a lot of things about it I didn't like, and which I can't wait to talk about them. But yeah, in my first initial reaction, I wasn't too crazy. I wasn't like, oh my God, this is the best movie ever. There is one of them I did enjoy in the theater. And I said, oh man.
Of the prequels, you mean?
Of the prequels, yeah. Of the prequels, I was like, yeah, this is it. Like, but this one was not my strong suit for me. But yeah, all right. Well, let's get into the financials, right? Because we got to know, how did this thing do in the box office that year, 1999? Well, domestic, it made $483 million. Not bad for a Star Wars movie. Came back after many years. International, $558 million for a worldwide total of $1 billion on a budget of $115 million.
Yeah, and adjusted for inflation, that billion is actually worth more. So if that's 1999 numbers, it's definitely more. And fun fact, Alex, just this weekend, it actually, that box office total includes, it made $8 million this weekend on the re-release. So it finished second place in the box office in 2024 on a re-release. So for a Star Wars movie that considered a lot of people don't like it, still people went to go watch it when it came out in the theater this week.
Yeah. Rob, what did you think of those numbers?
I didn't realize they made that much. Domestic, but not the worldwide box office. I was kind of surprised at that number.
Yeah. I mean, I'll give you some re-releases numbers. 2012 3D release. You get to see it in 3D. Ooh. From February 8th to March 16, 2012, 51 markets. This movie made a whopping $102 million. Not bad.
Dang.
Not bad. Star Wars May 4th marathon on May 1st on 2004 in Australia made only 114,000. And then 2024, your numbers, because it just came out. So, yeah. So, again, for a movie that you're right, a lot of people are not crazy about, it still makes the money in the theater.
Everyone claims to hate it. Keep going to watch it when it comes out in the theater.
Yeah, you're right. All right. So, let's check out what the critics and audience had to say about this movie in 1999.
Well, not great. This is, okay. So this is our first Star Wars movie since the original trilogy, and those had great reviews. Oh, like all three of them. We're starting off with not a bang here, a 52% critic score. So half seem to like it, half not so much. Audience is close, 59%. So this is rotten on both. It's not fresh either one, but the audience is close at a 59%. That's not great. Not great for a Star Wars movie. These are not great numbers.
Wow, Rob, you got anything to say about it?
I'm kind of shocked about the audience score.
Think it's too low or too high?
You know, I thought it was kind of high, but you know.
Oh, 59 is too high.
Oh, all right. Well, you know what? Let's get into the review because now it's getting good. Okay, lead character. You got Anakin, Qui-Gon, Obi-Wan, Padme, Queen Amidala. All right, Rob, you're going to kick it all off. What is your score for them? You could rate them whatever you want.
I really was really impressed with Liam Neeson's portrayal of Qui-Gon, and especially for Ewan McGregor for Obi-Wan. So I combined that, gave him 5 on that, on the characters, especially on the strength of those two.
All right, cool.
Nick. Okay, I'm mad at that, but I have a different score. However, it's not low. It's not low. I gave him a 4. I gave the leads a 4. I'm going to tell you why. I agree with Rob. I actually love, Alex and Rob, I did go see this on the re-release this weekend. So usually we do these podcasts. I watch these movies at home, but it just so happened. And I had no idea because I made the schedule like 2 years ago. I had no idea they were going to re-release this movie in theaters the week before we review it. So I was like, why not go to the theater? Get on my notepad. Right. There was nobody in there. It was like 5 of us. I had a whole row to myself. I went with the recliners. I was typing up my notes. It was great. So I gave him a 4. I absolutely love Liam Neeson in this movie. I don't know why. Yeah. He really feels like he was meant to play a Jedi at that time, 25 years ago. Love him. I love his look with the long hair. I love his whole demeanor. He's like a little rebellious, you know, about with the council, the Jedi council, but he also is not like crazy. He's not like going way off and we're just going to do whatever we want. And I like that. And Ewan McGregor was a great casting choice as Obi-Wan. Honestly, he's great.
Yeah.
Why it's a 4 is because Jake Lloyd as Anakin is one of the worst. Sometimes kid actors, they just don't do it for me. This kid is horrible. He's absolutely horrible. Not just the performance, but even the portrayal of the character. It's like, he's not that cool. I thought he was going to be, you know, he should have been cooler. He's like, yippee, when they say he can do I do like the pod race stuff. Well, we'll get to that later. And also, I love me some Natalie Portman. But that is a weird character because she's a queen. And by the way, Keira Knightley played the double. So two famous young actresses playing these roles. She's playing this character who's this queen of Naboo, I think is
Naboo.
Yeah, Naboo. Yeah. Also, though, she keeps talking to this little kid like, I care for you so much, Anakin. And first of all, you just met this kid and he's like 5. And it was very awkward. And then knowing what happens in the next movies, it's weird. So I don't know. Those two knock it a little bit for me. I'd still give him a 4 because Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan are awesome.
Yep. Okay, so I did give this a 4. by a little margin. Okay. Because I do agree with both of you guys. Anakin, you know, I like the character Anakin, but it was the wrong kid for the wrong time. At least if they would have got my man Harry Potter at that time as a kid, because he was a better actor. Yep. Danny Radcliffe or whatever his name is. Yep. I think it would have worked. But anyway, Anakin, I didn't like him. He was whiny. But then again, Anakin does grow up to be whiny anyway. That's so like true. That portrayal.
He's whining when he's
whines a lot. Yeah. So I can't put much on the kid because he is a whiner. But one thing is that Qui-Gon rubbed off on him, because if you notice Qui-Gon's demeanor and stuff, like you said, Nate, that is Anakin. He goes against the grain. He's just like, wait a minute. Like, I could do this if I want to do this. Like, he told him, well, if you're not going to tell me to train him, I'm going to train him anyway. So it's like, okay, that's pretty much where you see the Qui-Gon a little bit rubbed off on Anakin, right? As you see the time that they spent before he died. You can see that. My thing with Anakin, though, I guess it's more stories, so I won't bring it up. But Natalie Portman's character, I do agree, the slave version is like, oh, but the queen sent her to go with you guys to see what investigating and all this. And I'm like, what? Like, how does Qui-Gon not know that this not the queen? Like, right. Like, he ain't that stupid. Like, I told my wife, I was like, it's like, Qui-Gon Jinn is not dumb. He knows that the queen, he's like, stay near me, close to me. Like, don't go off. Because he knows this lady is the queen. Yeah. Like,
a little face paint so, ain't make her look that different. Like,
yeah. And the funny thing is like, he keeps saying sarcastic lines. Like, well, the queen would let me do this, you know, whatever. And she's like saying, like, no, she won't. Like, you got the little bit of like Princess Leia lines. You know how she's mad? Right. Like, so I was like, I kind of like that. Oh my God. Jar Jar Binks is what
I forgot about this.
Let me tell you.
He's the worst.
I dropped this to a point because of Jar Jar. I would have given it a 5. Jar Jar Binks is one of the most annoying characters throughout this whole movie. I understand, and I'm going to say this again, I totally understand where George Lucas was going with the character. He was going to go with the kids. You know, he's trying to sell it to the kids. I 100% agree. I'm okay with it. Like, this is where the problem is, he had to figure out a way to balance the stupidity to like the storyline, because this movie's all dumb and it's all him. Jar Jar, don't go next to the electricity thing. It's going to numb you if you touch it. And well, that's the first thing he does is tongue touches it. He's like, and I was like, what the fuck? Like, he literally told you. Very clumsy. And I will say this is like, this is when and I feel so bad. This is when the audience started to attack the actors, because that guy was going to kill himself, because everyone just kept bashing him for the portrayal. And it's like, well, first of all, he had nothing to do with this. Like, he's just doing a job.
He just paid to perform it.
Yeah. So this is when the toxicity started. Yeah. This is the generation of toxicity.
Lisa and deep doo-doo. I'm like, oh my God, what is this like? Yo, Mr. Crazy, Annie? Alex, I agree with you. I forgot to mention him. What you said is exactly right. It's not a matter of me not knowing what George Lucas was going for. I get it.
Yeah,
trying to sell some toys, trying to bring in new kids into the thing. They're like, oh, kids will like this. But the character's written so dumb that I didn't like that character when I saw this in the theater when I was a kid. I wasn't like, oh, Jar Jar Binks is my favorite. It's just a poorly written. And there's a reason why he's not in the other two, like, very much, because the backlash was like, this guy character's horrible. And he was. He's a terrible character.
Yeah, he was pretty bad written. But the funny thing is, in the cartoon, he was better. It fit that mold.
Right, okay.
And he was more written out. So he was not stupid like the one in the movie. But anyway, I gave it a 4. I thought the characters were great. They all worked. Liam Neeson did fit the role. I mean, the ones that they got right was Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon and Yoda.
And Samuel Jackson, Mace Windu.
Well, Mace Windu, I mean, we'll talk about it later, but his name told you his fate.
Yeah.
That's true.
Because
he went out the window.
He flew out the window.
Anyway, jokes to the side. Yeah, but I felt like he felt kind of a little bit off, Sammy L. Jackson.
I liked him.
But I thought he was a great character. I just think we didn't get much screen time with him like he did in part three. You see more of him. But yeah, Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan, I wish they did more of them together.
Right.
But anyway, with that said, we all 4, 4, 5. Okay, main villain. Now we got Emperor Palpatine. I can't say the senator because his alter ego, it's not the villain in this movie. You got the Emperor. Palpatine is here. Darth Maul is the actual villain of this film.
Yeah.
And a lot of political stuff, but
weird aliens we'll with go Asian with accents for some
reason. Yeah, Nate.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, here we go again. Go to Nate. And all right, I'm mixed. I gave him a 4. Let me start there. I gave him a 4. And, you know, we did the original Star Wars, and controversially, I gave Darth Vader a 4, okay, in that first movie. Yeah. Because not in it a lot. And guess what? Darth Maul, first of all, looks incredible. One of the best looking, most iconic looking Star Wars villains. Absolutely badass.
Definitely.
Got a double-sided lightsaber, which was absolutely sick at the time. Like, as soon as he turns that thing on and it has two ends, incredible. But he's not in it that much either. You know, he's off screen a lot of times. He pops up in the back, or he stands behind him, and then he shows up, does a little action, and then he does the fight at the end. So he would have gotten a 5 if he had like 10 more minutes of screen time. I'm not even lying. He makes that much of an impact in his small time. The Emperor. Okay. My problem with this movie is it's all about the Senate. So the guy is part of the Senate, and he's trying to basically get into a position of power. The Supreme Chancellor is what he's trying to do. And this is all going to factor into storyline. But this is one of the like wackest, like villain kind of like motor. Like what he's doing is so uninteresting to me in the movie that I'm just like, and he's not like, you know, all he does is come on the holograms and talk. I will send my apprentice, Darth Maul. He will go and find the Jedi's. He doesn't do anything other than that. He just talks a little bit. Darth Maul's badass. I love him. I still have to give him a 4 though. If he was in it a little bit more, you know what? I would give him a 4.5. I changed my score just now on the fly because you know what? He kills Qui-Gon Jinn. So I give him a 4.5 because unlike Darth Vader, who slashed Obi-Wan, but he just vanished, this guy literally kills Qui-Gon. He actually is dead. So 4.5 because Darth Maul's amazing in his 15 minutes of screen time.
All right, Rob, what you got?
I went with quality than quantity with the Darth Maul being in this. So I gave him 5. Even when we didn't see him that much, that you know, the lightsaber fight, like you just mentioned, Nate, and he just like skewers, like, you know, Liam Neeson right there. And that's pretty ruthless. So we want to see villains. That's why they're villains. You know, they do like, you know, crazy stuff, violent stuff. And we got him here. And he's also so menacing, frightening, sometimes almost like demon like sometimes. And that's why I gave him the 5. Yeah. The other ones were, I remember the two aliens in the beginning with the accents. Man, I remember they were getting some controversy. Like some Asian groups are getting offended by that. I didn't see that, but
we got to tell them about the blockade in the Senate.
It felt very. I mean, I could see a little bit why they got, because it does kind of be a
watching it in the theater now. I was like, bro, this is kind of weird.
The Senate.
We created the blockade in the Senate.
Yeah, it's still coming through. Yeah.
They not get through. Yeah.
Those are Jedi Knights. Get the Queen Amidala. And I was like, what? But anyway, all right, so you gave it a 5. Nate gave it a 4.5. I was going with a 3, but I'm going to go with a 4. Okay. I gave it a 4 because, you know, Nate said something that I totally forgot. That he did kill Qui-Gon on the battle. Because other than that, I was going to give him a 3 in terms of a total. Because honestly, you know, Emperor Palpatine was mostly in the background doing the chess pieces. His ultra side, like his human side, was pretty much just try to put himself in a position of power, like Nate said. Other than that, I mean, you got the droids, the Roger Roger. I thought they were funny. Those are my dudes, the droids. Yeah. And my favorite was like, oh, the one of them was so funny that I laughed so hard. He was like, we're here.
I know which part you're talking about.
We're going to take the ship. And he was like,
yes.
Oh, let me see. No.
Yeah, he goes, oh, again. Let me think about it. No.
I thought that shit had me on the floor. I said, you know what? They have personality, the robots, and that's the whole gig, right? Like, even in the cartoon and everything's like running around here. Yeah. Oh no, Jedi's. And then it goes to getting destroyed. And then you got the Dockers. Those are the ones that roll with the force field, which looks really nice. They look really cool. But other than that, like, I can't just give an army of droids and all this like a 5 because it's tons of no. I gotta look at, okay, so Darth Maul is the villain. Darth Maul does look amazing. He looks great. My problem is that they killed him way too fast in this movie. Now, they do bring him in the cartoons back. Look, spoiler alert or whatever it is. They do bring him back.
Yeah.
He has spider legs and all this shit. And then he does get killed by Obi-Wan in the cartoon. Like, they finally have the final battle. Mad quick. Obi-Wan just destroyed him mad quick. So I said, okay, great. But the problem with this movie is, like, they should have left him into the Attack of the Clones and then have him do this big battle.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
he dies.
I a million percent agree.
But we didn't get that. And this movie does do a foreshadow that's going to happen in Return of the Sith, which I'll talk about it in Return of the Sith why. But
there's also no backstory for Darth Maul. You know nothing about him other than he's the apprentice.
That's mostly like books and comics and cartoons. Like, they give you some backstory. And I agree with you. I mean, you know, he does look cool. And I don't mind like villains that show up that look cool. Like, I'm going to send my apprentice, because that scene was dope.
Yeah.
Right.
When he just comes out the block, at the hologram, and I said, oh man, this dude's going to kick some ass. And even when you see him show up when, you know, Qui-Gon's taking Anakin to the ship after he freed him, and he shows up and he's like, you know, Doug Andy. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, zoom, and they're fighting. And I was just like, my God, this is awesome. But, you know, quick cuts, because they showed you a little bit and then it goes right to Obi-Wan in the cockpit. And he was like, drive low. And I was like, what? Like, give me the battle of Qui-Gon in the dirt. Like, that was more cool. But anyway, I'm going to give it a 4 just because he did kill Qui-Gon Jinn. But other than that, it would have been lowered. But, and they had that famous scene though, when he's talking next to the Emperor and he was like, at last we will have revenge. He's like, at last. And I was like, oh shit. I was like, that is so like badass. But I thought that was cool. Anyway,
by the way, Darth Maul, played by Ray Park. You know him as from the X-Men, the first X-Men movie, but also Snake Eyes from the first two G.I. Joe movies. He was the guy in the suit, the martial artist. Good casting choice for a character who barely has to talk and just do fighting. Great casting choice.
Well, yeah, I loved him as Snake Eyes. He was really good.
His movements
kept doing really that.
Ray Park has a cool Instagram page too.
Oh, he does?
Follow him right now.
Yeah. I follow.
All right, Rob, what you got? Action scenes.
Well, you know, I love the culmination of all the action scenes, especially the final lightsaber scene. So on that note, I'm going to, the strength of that scene alone, I gave it a 5.
Oh,
Rob is just on fire here.
He's on five. Okay. He's alive. All right.
I love the pod racing scene. That was great. And all the scenes, especially what got to me was the lightsaber scene between three of them, between our two leads, Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon and Darth Maul. That alone is like the price of admission for me. So, and the music was scored by John Williams. Was perfect.
Oh, the Duel of the Fates.
Duel of the Fates.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't edit that out. Leave that in. Yeah, that's great.
That's good.
Don't edit that out. Leave that in.
Yeah, leave it in. Get copyrighted. So you give it a 5 due to the fight of the Duel of the Fates and the stuff. All right.
Bro, what you got? Rob is making me feel like I'm a jerk because I've given nothing a 5 in this movie yet.
That's true.
But I haven't given it good scores. A 4 and a 4.5. I mean, I ain't way far off, but guess what? It's still not a 5 for me. Now, I will say this. This movie has a good amount of action. So this is going to be a reverse where sometimes you get like really incredible action. There's not a lot. And then sometimes you get the reverse where I think this movie has a lot, but there's only two memorable action scenes to me. I think the pod race scene is great. I really do. I think the way it's shot is fantastic. That's something new to Star Wars. Like, there's none of that in the old ones, right? I don't think the technology existed to make it look good. So I'm glad if he had that idea, I'm glad he waited till now to do it. I even love the sound design of the pod race, how there's no music. It's just like the sound of the thing. And that one guy with all the arms and stuff and his pod race, like, time it goes past.
Saboba.
And I saw this at the theater and it sounded awesome. I was like, oh, that sounds so good. So I do love the pod racing. I think it's a lot of fun and I think it's cool. The Duel of the Fate scene is fantastic. That fight is better than any lightsaber fight in the whole old original trilogy. And it's not close, in my opinion. I don't think it's even close. These guys are actually moving fast. They're not going, you know, like they are like doing like really fast fighting. Liam Neeson's great in that scene. Ewan McGregor's great in that scene. Ray Park's amazing in that scene. So two great action scenes. The rest, I mean, it's a lot of, you know, pew-pew lasers back and forth in hallways. I mean, nothing really new. Yeah, there's droids instead of stormtroopers. Some of the CGI hasn't held up well. I'll just say that. I don't like the underwater part where there's like those big fish monsters. You know me with underwater stuff. I don't need to keep talking about it. But I'd still give it a 4. I give it a 4. And I couldn't help myself. I know the next two movies like kind of in my head. And I do think there's way better action in some of the other ones. So yeah, this one's a 4.
Okay. So I was very torn with this. And the reason why I dropped it to this point level was because one thing George Lucas does that freaking annoys me. And this is, I was like, you know what? You're not a good director.
Ooh.
Is when you have a battle like that, the Duel of the Fates, right? You do not cut away during the fights. I don't give a shit what's going on in the background. Like, I don't care what's going on in timeline wise. I want to see these three go at it. Master, apprentice, versus Sith apprentice, because he ain't the master. Darth Maul is not the master in this one. He's just an apprentice of Darth Sidious. So I'm like, no. It kept cutting back and forth. And it was like, oh my God. And then it gets annoying because you got the actual awesome music. And then it cuts into another song on another playing field. I was like, oh my God. Like, it took away everything. If you could cut out all those scenes and then paste it all together, I'd be like, this is a dope scene. But it's not. When you're seeing it, it cuts to Anakin flying the ship by luck, and then he destroys. And I'm like, oh, no. This kid never flew this plane. And now it's like, R2, can you disable the autopilot, and I'm going to fly it myself? This kid would have got shot. Like, he would have been dead up there. He never flew out of space before. Like, and that's the thing. And I know people are going to say, well, he's a chosen one. You know, it is what it is. You know, he is a great pilot. I'm okay with it. But certain things just, that's why I'm like, I'm give it what I gave it. Because yeah, the Darth Maul scene was dope. They do fight. I'm like, okay, great. He does kill Qui-Gon Jinn. You see a little bit of hint Obi-Wan going dark side because he just straight angers and starts going nuts on him, cuts him in half. And I'm like, okay, great. And then he holds him, right? And I'm like, and I told my wife, I said, you know, this shit, this is where I get mad because of the situation of him dying. Because in that, once we go through all the movies, you got force healing. You got all these characters that are getting stabbed with lightsabers. They all come back, but not Qui-Gon. This dude just dies straight up. Everyone says, oh yeah, but Darth Maul gave him a blow in the middle, which severed his spine.
But Darth Maul lived? He got cut in half. And he comes back to life, but Qui-Gon couldn't.
That's what I'm saying. And then he doesn't disappear and turn into the Force. This dude just dies and they burn him his ass. So I'm like, wait, there's so much things in this movie that I'm just like, it just recons a lot of stuff that happens down the line. Yeah. So it annoys me. So like watching this movie, I'm like, oh my God, you see them fighting. And then I guess it's the suspense of the fight, because I'm like, wait a minute. These lasers turn on and off 2 seconds later. They start running, they turn off and you see them running, and all of a sudden Qui-Gon, Darth Maul starts fighting, and then all of a sudden the laser goes zoom, and I was like, what has super speed in the beginning of the movie? Where did the super speed come from?
Like, oh yeah, remember they go like,
remember that shit?
Oh yeah, yeah.
They went like Twilight fast running down the hallway.
And all of a sudden, they don't have super speed running through the force field.
Wow, good point. Blockade. I forgot about that.
I said, yo, and I told her, I was like, what is this? I was like, this is inconsistency. She's like, but now you're nitpicking. I'm like, yes, but I have to do a podcast review. And I'm like, this is the problem.
That's a fair point. I don't think that's a nitpick per se. A nitpick would be more like, I wish the lightsaber was purple instead of green. You know, like, that's a nitpick.
Yeah, the scene when they ran away from the droids.
Yeah, they zoomed down the hallway, but they couldn't do that with those laser force fields.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
And then you have Obi-Wan Kenobi and them. They're jumping, I mean, like 30 feet up in the air like nothing. Yeah. You can't leap across these force fields to get to these guys? Like, I'm like, there's so much inconsistency or a force grab, like throw, like none of them use the force at all during the battle. Darth Maul, when he grabbed the thing and he threw it, and it looked pretty cool though, because he destroyed the door and it opened. And I was like, oh, this is crazy. None of them used the force.
Obi-Wan,
none of them
a little pushed. Bit when he jumps up and then like, the lightsaber, he gets the lightsaber.
Oh, he grabbed the lightsaber. But that's like,
yeah. But still,
like,
it's at the very last second.
Yeah. Other than that, I mean, that battle could have been pretty much done if they all did force. Anyway, see, now I'm just going to get annoyed. But anyway,
space
I get a 4.5.
Was pretty good too, though. The space.
The space battle was, but it was too much because you had the battle in the ground, the battle in the air, plus the battle with the lightsabers. I felt like it there was way too much going on at the same time.
Well, I meant more so like visually. I think it looks
good. No. It looked amazing. Yeah. I just felt like it was way too much on the same time. It was just like the battle of whatever Naboo. Like,
too much going on, maybe.
Yeah. And then it was cutting all over the place. It was like three cuts from the ground, the sea. I mean, the sea, the air. And then you have, you know, the fate of the duel of the fate. I was like, this is way too much. Like, just give me the lightsaber battles. This is what people pay to see is these guys go at it. Anyway, I give it a 4.5 because I thought that those fights were, I don't give 0.5s, but I think that the duel of the fate is the best part of this entire movie anyway. So I gave it that. I don't think it's a perfect thing. If they cut out the damn Naboo fight and just have it the air and them three, I would have been like, this is a perfect for action. Okay, storyline. All right, Nate.
Okay. Give it a 2. I give it a 2. This story, we're talking purely the storyline here, right?
Yeah.
And there's reasons it's not a 1, and that's because I like Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan. I like them, you know, going to, actually, I like them after they leave Naboo, and then they're like, they, you know, they find Anakin, and then they want to, but even that stuff, like, there's so much stupid crap in this. First of all, what is this? Like, he's Jesus. Anakin is Jesus, because his mom was just pregnant. She's like, she got impregnated by midichlorians. First of all, what does that even mean? If this is one of those things where you got to read books to know what midichlorians are, I'm never going to read them, but I don't know, they just fly into you and make you pregnant. It's very weird. So there's that whole thing where it's like, okay, he has no dad. Like, he's just, it exists. I agree with you, Alex. Too much convenience. And you know me, I don't like convenient stuff. This kid is 5, 6 years, let's say 6. He honestly, he's like really little. I'm gonna say he's like 6 or 7 years old tops. Okay. He can fly a pod racer. But flying that dusty old pod racer on the ground is not equivalent to like knowing how to use all spaceships in space. And they're just too convenient, like, oh well, he's just naturally the most gifted thing that there is. It's like, okay. Also, let's be real, even the beginning, like the main storyline of this is so boring. It's about senators and tariffs and blockades. They're like, you know, it's horrible. It's like political. This is the political Star Wars, but the politics are never like, they're not super fleshed out. They just say a bunch of words like blockades and senators and chancellors. And it's like, okay, what is this? This is, I don't know. It's kind of boring. Anytime there's not an action scene, the storyline's not interesting. And the other problem is, and Rob, I'm almost done. I'm sorry. The other problem is, you know, in the original Star Wars, those characters were so like interesting and stuff. And these like Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan are, but everyone else is not that interesting. So when they're not doing action and stuff, it's like, I don't really care that much. So I gave it a 2. I think the storyline is hands down the weakest part of this movie.
All right, Rob.
Yeah, I agree. I gave it a 3. The Senate, the Chancellor stuff, and I don't know what's going on. What are we watching? Are we watching like the candidate, or I don't know, JFK or what? I don't know. It's like, yeah, that when they switched to that, the political story there, it got a little boring. But and as going back to Anakin, I wish they made him a little bit older. Maybe
I agree.
That way he had some experience of, you know, piloting, like a ship and all that. Yeah, you're right. And his mother being, you know, just impregnating like that. That was kind of, you know, we got all this mumbo jumbo stuff out. It's not fleshed out enough.
If he was a little older, it would have been less weird when Padme was hitting on him. Then it wouldn't have been as creepy. She's like, I care for you. Yeah, too, it was kind of, I care for you.
Yeah, that was kind of creepy.
What the hell is going on?
I agree. I agree with you on that one. Hey,
yeah, I went to see it back just like Nate. I went to see it on Thursday afternoon. Yeah, gosh, it was only probably 10 people in there. But when you're watching it, you go, man, I didn't realize, you know, these, you know, this dialogue and all that, you know, with Padme and Anakin. I go, yeah, that's kind of weird. But and then about the midichlorians and all that, you know, you pick up all that after. I go, what are, but other than that, yeah, it's a 3.
Oh man, this is where the hate comes in.
Here we go.
I gave it a 1.
I'm not mad at it. I honestly give it a one. I understand.
And I'm going to be honest with you. I never watched this shit. I never put on part one. It's boring. It's a boring movie. Throughout the film, it's really boring. Them running away, and then they go into Naboo. Then they talk to the guy who shakes his cheeks to talk. That whole new species thing, I'm like, oh my God, this is so dumb. The lack of villainy in terms of throughout the whole film. I love when they send the three droids to hunt them down, you know, when they land on Tatooine and he sends the three droids to look for them. I was like, that is actually pretty cool. My problem with this film is not the pod racing. A lot of people go, oh, the pod racing. I think the pod racing was, honestly, I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah.
I was really into it. And I agree with both of you guys. If Anakin was like 9 or 10, I would be like, yeah, this is pretty cool. This dude is literally 5 years old running a pod race. And it looks so weird. The helmet is bigger than him.
Yeah.
The seat, he's like this. And he's navigating. And I'm like, how the hell can you see through that? Like, there was such a lot of stuff that I was just like, eh. But and my thing is the political part of the film is what kills me. Like, I don't give a shit. Like, I don't care for this. Like, I understand what he was trying to do. I really do. But I'm like, for me, I'm not here to watch political what's going on in these planets. Like, I'm here to see some action. Space like politics. Jedis. Yeah, I don't want space politics. We get that enough in CNN. Yeah. I don't want to see that shit on Star Wars. You know what I mean? And then a lot of googly gook in this movie. 100%. A lot of googly gook. Wait, my man Watto. I know it sounded by Triple H, but... Yeah. That's a nice looking ship there. Anyway, it's so stupid. Anyway, I gave it a 1. Okay, overall, neat.
Oh, okay. So, I gave it a 2.5. Overall, I think that there's a lot of stuff in this movie that I like. The storyline drags it down so much that it's like, it's not a super enjoyable movie for me, but there are things in it. I can easily just watch the pod racing scene. I can easily like watch the Duel of the Fates fight. I think the soundtrack, the score by John Williams is fantastic. I think the music is, I mean, all of them are great, but this one, it does have a great score. I think Liam Neeson is great in this movie. I think Ewan McGregor is great in this movie. I think Darth Maul looks incredible. And all these things are weighed down by the story that is so boring. It's such a 50-50 movie that I literally just gave it exactly the half of our scoring system. So I gave it a 2.5 because as much things as I think are cool and I like, there's equal amount that I don't like. I have a soft spot for the movie because it's the first new Star Wars movie that I saw in the theater. So it was watchable. Like, I didn't want to get up and leave the theater or anything. But I definitely check out at times where I'm just like, all right, I'm just going to wait till it gets to like, I was easily writing my notes on my phone. By the way, if you're listening, I didn't distract anybody. Again, I had a whole road to myself and I was in the theater. We were reclining. Nobody could even see me, but I easily wrote notes during these parts where I'm like, nothing's happening. You can go to the bathroom and come back and you'll have missed nothing. So I gave it a 2.5 overall.
Oh, baby. All right, Rob, what you got?
Yeah, I gave it a solid 3. It was mid for me. You're right. The political mumbo jumbo. That brought it down quite a bit. That's when it drags. But you know, like Nate, piggyback on what Nate said, you know, the pod racing scenes, especially the, you know, the Duel of Fate scenes, with Darth Maul as their enemy, that makes it for me. And that, but overall, that brings it down. And that mumbo jumbo about the midichlorians. And I want to see what these things look like. I keep on talking about it, but
we don't get that. Organisms.
Yeah. I want to see. Does it look it's like space venom? I don't know, but by convenience, you know, there's Anakin now. So that kind of brought it down a little bit.
All right. Well, I guess I'm the lowest one out of everybody. I gave it a 2. It's a decent film. Never going to watch it again. It's a lot of crap that's going to get debunked like later down the road anyway. In terms of Anakin being the chosen one, I never mind it. I thought it was cool. But again, after these three films, it just goes right out the toilet. It doesn't do nothing at all. Like, I don't understand where George Lucas was going with this one, because it's just, I know he was trying to tell the story of Darth Vader, but then 4, 5, 6 is a story of Luke, then 7, 8, 9 is a story of Rey, which I'm like, that throws everything out. Like, because we all know it's the Skywalker saga at the end of the day. But I mean, look, it is what it is when you look at it, but it's just a horrible movie altogether. The score is honestly the best thing about this movie was the score. This movie, when you're looking at it in 4K, it looked and sounded amazing. But the problem is that a lot of scenes are so blurry because of the CGI. They're walking around and I'm like, why does it look crispy clear when they're in practical sets? Yep. And then when they're in CGI sets, it looks worse than what they came from. And that's horrible. I was like, this is so horrible. I mean, it's 1999 CGI, but damn, we did some movies from that era that looked pretty good with the CGI and it was crystal clear. Yeah. So and I
look
don't...
Look at T2 and
Terminator 2. Well, that was more practical.
That was before. Jurassic Park, 6 years before this.
This came out the same year as The Mummy. I'd say they're about on par as far as like 90s CGI go.
Yeah, I mean, to be really honest with you, man, it's just a shame. He could have did so much better. I just think he was just harping on the kids stuff a lot. So anyway, with that said, a 2 for me. Total points, Robert.
A total points going to be 21.
Okay.
I got a 17 out of a 25. And you know what's funny? I remember liking this better than the second one, or Attack of the Clones. So I don't know. I'm now scared. I never rewatched that one because I remember hating it. So now I'm scared. If I gave this a 2.5, I'm scared to watch that.
Well, in the words of Dr. Emmett Brown, if my calculations are right, it's 15.5. It's 15.5. I gave this movie. This movie, look, it's, I don't know. If you're really a diehard, God bless you. But I can't go back and watch this movie. It's not good at all. It's just horrible dialogue everywhere. But under that, Nate, what is coming up next on the podcast?
Here's what we got coming up. Again, Robert, going to be back for these next bunch of episodes. So I'm not going to keep mentioning it, but we will be starting a new month. Alex, Mel Gibson month is over. We had great success. We watched a bunch of good movies. I literally liked all of them. So we're going to see if we keep that trend going or if we're back to our old ways of some of these are crap. And we're going to be doing Steven Seagal month. And we're starting with the name Under Siege. The film Under Siege from 1992. We're going to be doing a little Under Siege. Rob will be back for that. And then, of course, next week, we are going on to the next in the Star Wars prequel trilogy, which will be Star Wars Episode 2, Attack of the Clones.
Ooh. All right, Robin, thank you so much for sitting down and with us on this episode.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's a lot of fun.
You guys want to follow us in our social media accounts? Please follow Nate over on Instagram at Nateflix Reviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called Nateflix Movie Reviews. Nate goes live every other Monday at 9 p.m. Eastern on his Instagram account, Nateflix Reviews. Anything AMG podcast, you can follow us on Geeks and Flicks. And then, of course, you can follow us on our YouTube channel, Action Movie Guys, on YouTube. And then you can listen to us on YouTube Music. We're there too. And anywhere you listen to your podcast on. Other than that, I'm your host, Ash Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
And that is our special guest, Robert. Be awesome to each other and geek out.